Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, and happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, continues now. This is the broadcast for April the 21st in the year of our Lord, 2022. This is our two of two in the goal, always, to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. Eldon Stahl with me, JBS.org, or thenewamerican.com. Both websites are incredible. And he is a field coordinator for the JBS in my area, doing a phenomenal job. Always joins me on the radio, just riveting content. And a lot of the times when he comes on, we like to talk about stories from the New American Magazine because there's just so much going on. And man, there's just story after story after story of hard-hitting commentary and news and education from thenewamerican.com. Now, I've got a few stories from The New American and a few stories not that we're going to rifle through to really get Eldon's comments on a bunch of them. So as I mentioned to you last hour, it was kind of the first highlighted story that we focused on. Biden, well, let's say this. Everybody is pushing for the getting rid of the masks, right? That's really a big story. We're going to get rid of the mask thing. But now it looks like, even though the courts ruled against the CDC on this, now it turns out that the Department of Justice to appeal travel mask mandate ruling, pending the decision on the CDC on the necessity of masks, thenewamerican.com with this great piece highlighting the Justice Department is literally now, I don't know if he's going after the judge or what, but they want to certainly overturn the judge's ruling. Eldon?
Yeah, well, not a huge surprise, right? You know, that's something that the Biden administration has been pushing for a while, and they want to keep their power. The tendency of people that are in power is they want to keep their power and they want to exercise their power regardless of what the people think. So they want, you know, less accountability and all that. And that's really what's been going on. We've had people that are unaccountable to you and me. Did you vote for anybody in the CDC? Did you vote for anybody in the any of these other departments that Congress claims to delegate basically lawmaking authority over you and me to? Well, no, of course not. And, of course, that's to the disadvantage of you and me. It's supposedly in the name of efficiency, but it really takes you and me out of the picture because we're not able to hold these people accountable in any meaningful way. So we've got that going on. Until we abandon that, we're going to have more of this, legislation by fiat or legislation by the stroke of the pen or whatever you want to call it. And then, of course, none of these judges have been elected by you and me. So you have all of that going on. It should be something where we demand that Congress take our power, not just Congress's power, but our power, our representative power for making laws back, and that we are actually represented. We're not represented by bureaucrats.
And thank the heavens we're not, although it feels like we are, ladies and gentlemen, because the lobbyists and those who control America seem to have a lot of sway. And they only do because we, the people, aren't engaged, ladies and gentlemen. If we use our greater numbers, if we stand together, we could really rout out those people who want to run America off the rails. And so, for example, the DOJ challenging and appeal the mask mandate. Look, we need 10 million Americans to really stand up. If we had 500 Americans in each congressional district, we're told we could move the needle by this John Birch Society video. What do you got? Is that just in the House of Representatives districts, or is it in the Senate reality as well? In other words, can I say this per senator as well, or no?
Well, not exactly, because senators cover the whole state. So in a state like Utah, it would be four congressional districts, so that'd be, approximately the 2,000 in the Senate for Utah, but a state like Wyoming, which only has one congressional district, well, the senator covers the same amount of people in the same area, so that'd be 500, wouldn't it?
We need 217,500 people if it was 500 per congressman of 435 congressmen. So 217,000. So really a million Americans united could really make the difference, I believe.
Yeah, it'd be more than enough, wouldn't it?
You know, and that's what, 1/3 of 1% is all it is?
Yep.
If you take
the
average of three.
You know, active. They got to be trained in, you know, being effective, but
yeah, in other words, you just can't have those people. You got to have those people understand how to organize.
Yeah,
those people have to understand. They have to understand what levers to pull, what to focus on too. Just yelling and screaming on Twitter and throwing things at your TV, you know, it isn't going to cut it, even if you have 10 million doing that. So it's got to be effective moves, is the point, right?
Yep, a concerted action, of course. They can't be just everybody doing their own thing and all that. They've got to be working on, educating their local people, the people in their communities in a systematic way. And if they do that, then, definitely. Even, you look at Congress, and we like to bemoan how it's difficult to influence them, but you talk with just about any congressman and say, okay, if you get 50 phone calls in a relatively short amount of time, opposing, supporting a bill, does that get your attention? And they'll say, oh, yeah, definitely. Because, hardly anybody anymore picks up the phone and actually calls their congressman. They figure an email is just sufficient, which it generally is not. They get flooded with emails. But who takes the time to pick up the phone and call them? And, just use your phone.
And they call it the power of 500, informed electorate at work. And I think that really tells the story. That headline's brilliant because it highlights what it is. We need 500 per congressional district, and they've got to be informed electorate. They've got to have people that understand the real game. They got to really study it from the inside out and then go to work, Eldon.
Yeah. Understand, and it's an easy way to remember, understand and demand adherence to the Constitution. And of course, influence others, organize others to do the same. If we do that, then so many of these problems that we talk about, they don't occur because the people understand basic principles. They demand that our rights and our Constitution be respected. And if they do that, surprisingly, Congress is actually quite quite responsive to the people, but often, too often, what happens is the only people that Congress hears from is the, the major news media. They've got a big megaphone, and the lobbyists. If we don't speak up, they don't hear from us. It's just that simple. So we've got to get around that, and this is the way to do it. You've got to organize and understand good principles, and then systematically spread the word. A John Birch Society provides that. So
now I want to highlight a little bit about this video too. It's Robert Brown. He's a field director for the John Birch Society who kind of highlights this reality. He's a regional field director of the John Birch Society. He presents the society's what they call long-standing and successful plan for creating informed electorates. That's the only long-term solution for restoring and protecting constitutional liberties that'll actually work, where there's real solutions in mind. And they've actually done, case studies on this to kind of prove that it works. Everything else, this isn't just a good idea.
Yeah, right.
This is battle-tested, right?
Yeah, one of the stories it tells in the, just to give you a little maybe teaser for the video if you want to watch it, is, he tried this out. He said, okay, look, I'm in Montana. Let's try this out. And a simple thing he did, he got, people visiting. Every time I think it was Dennis Rehberg, who's not in Congress anymore, but he was coming to town. He'd do a town hall, and they'd pass out these scorecards on how Denny Rehberg voted. And at first, when he was in Congress, his score was not that great, really. But over time, I think he said it was a year or two, somewhere in there, his score kept going up and up, and finally it was about 90%. And then, you know, the funny thing is what happens when they have a good score, instead of saying, oh, you picked the wrong bills to score us on, they say, hey, can I get a copy of that? And they start making copies themselves and have their staff distributing them too. So that's it. But yeah, he changed his voting pattern. So that, you know, it's real application.
And the real power of this brilliance is to get other people doing a lot of the work for you. You know, if Congress is going to vote on bills, if they're going to basically betray us and then debate whether we use the right bills or the wrong bills to score them and everything else, then we have them literally printing out information. Pretty soon, you know, their staffs are running ragged trying to defend themselves against the reality that we're pointing out. And that's part of the key. The other part of the key, though, is the organization of the 500 per district that really move the needle. These are people that aren't just Joe Blow. These are people that are trained and understand, and they organize themselves in meaningful ways. So they get this synergistic power because they know exactly what to spend their time on. They know exactly where they need to pull the levers, exactly where they need to apply the pressure, exactly when they need to give somebody the benefit of the doubt versus when they need to double down and say, no, no, no. Kind of this takes a little bit of practice and training and experience and work in and of itself, ladies and gentlemen. I don't want you to think it's a get-out-of-heck free card, because it isn't. It's a hard work card that happens to work. We'll talk about that with Ellen Stahl in seconds. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Live.
This is a battle between truth and deceit, a battle between forces that would enslave this country in darkness and between a media that wants to present you with the truth.
We are being censored. America's news outlets no longer provide the truth. 90% of news outlets in the United States are controlled by 6 corporations. The mission of the Epoch Times is to chase the truth, to ground all statements in fact.
TheEpicTimes.com.
We at Freedom Factor have a passion for our shared American heritage and want to help restore some of that American pride by emphasizing the documents that made us Americans. Our goal is to put pocket constitutions into the hands of every American and in every school. This effort requires your help. Order your pocket constitutions and browse our website at freedomfactor.org to learn how you can help spread the message of freedom. Read it, know it, share it. FreedomFactor.org.
Recent studies show that parents who smoke in the home are more likely to have children who smoke.
Yes, in fact, my brother, he's 22 now, he told me and my father that's why he started smoking. One of the reasons why he started smoking is because my dad was around, you know, and they saw my dad smoking. My dad said, okay, I don't want you to smoke. I don't want you to, you know, watch what I'm doing.
Recent studies also show that in homes where parents don't smoke, their children usually don't smoke either.
I am the way I am because my grandparents taught me what not to do. They gave me morals. They gave me belief. They gave me something to believe in. They just taught me well. I love them. I do.
Smoking. If you think you're old enough to start, you're smart enough to stop. A public service message from this station and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
All right, back with you live, ladies and Sam Bushman, Eldon Stahl. We're talking about this power of 500, changing the electorate, literally getting a handle on things. I was mentioning that it's not just this disorganized, hey, all you got to do is get 5 people. No, you got a lot more work than that, folks. It's not a heck-free card at all. It's really a blueprint, a plan to go to work and make a difference, though. Look, you're not going to get out of this without a lot of hard work, Ellen, is the point.
Yeah, it's very true. And for some people, just admittedly, they're not quite ready for that. They're looking for the get-rich-quick type of type of scheme, right? This is not that. This is actually something that has been battle tested. It does work, but it does require some sacrifice on a person's part. But, you know, we do need to focus on, well, what are the key things that are going to preserve our liberty And what are the key things that those that are trying to take away our liberty, what are their key agenda items? How do we work against that? And educating people to be able to recognize those and to work for, of course, the good and against the bad. So this lays it out in simple form that anybody really can do. They might have to modify it a little bit for their own circumstances, but there's ways for anybody to be part of this process, be part of the 500, and be part of a focus team that's how to change your community, and that's really what it comes down to. We focus so much on elections, which are important, but really it comes down to the voters. The people that they elect reflect their understanding. You could kick out Nancy Pelosi today, but chances are, unless there's a significant change in the understanding of the voters in her congressional district, they're going to send somebody very similar to her back to Congress.
And most likely, if we see the pattern, they'll send somebody worse. I don't know how that's possible, but they will.
They might try, yeah. So yeah, it's not, people say, well, let's just do term limits or something. Let's just, after X number of terms, they're change them out. Okay, well, you can do that, but who's going to replace that person? Unless the voters think differently, they're going to send somebody similar back. It's not going to be any tectonic shift in Congress or anything. So let's look for real solutions, not something that's just kind of a Band-Aid or whatever. Analogy you want to use.
Do you believe, Eldon, that this video provides the training necessary, or does it just outline the idea and the reality of this idea, but yet you've got to get kind of greater training?
Well, certainly experience, there's nothing that can replace that. The video gives an overview of it, how to implement it in a basic way, an outline, but you're going to probably want to connect with somebody locally that's been doing this. They can tell you their experience, help you set up a workable plan that is for your particular situation and your community. Or maybe you live out in the sticks where there's hardly anybody. Well, that's going to be very different than if you're in an urban area, for example. And talk with your coordinator, or maybe it's a volunteer section leader or chapter leader, somebody that's been doing it, and go that way. And over time, you'll probably find out that there are certain things that work well for your area just because it's unique, the unique aspect of it, and others that maybe aren't working so well. But the overall outline of the plan is going to hold true just for anywhere. Just sometimes finding the exact application.
So anyway, the Power of 500 is the title of the video. Look for it. It's on YouTube. It's on jbs.org. And really, it's informed electorate at work. You got to get informed. You got to understand the way it works. I know I've repeated that, but I just want people to understand. We're not talking about a get-rich scheme equivalent. Okay, we're talking about learning how to work hard, organizing yourself. And 500 per district seems like not very many, but it's quite a lot in reality, isn't it, Eldon?
Yeah, it is a significant amount. And really what that comes down to is building small groups, a network of small groups in each congressional district. So let's say a group of 10, which might be small, might be large, but let's for most people, a group of 10 is relatively manageable, and they can work with them, and it's much more fun. So if you have 50 of those in a congressional district in different towns and things, then you've got 500, right?
Yes, but I'm just telling you right now, it's hard to get 500 to even show up for something, much less get 500 that will tirelessly work. So I just want people to understand it doesn't sound like very much.
Easy.
It's like, oh, man, this is going to be easy. No. It's a lot of hard work, folks. It isn't easy. If it was that easy, it would have already been done, Eldon.
Yes. Yeah. So you start with yourself and then build so you have a group of people, and then say, well, let's see if we can start a group or find at least one person in the next town and help them get going. And as you do that, you keep going. Maybe you have some, show some videos or bring in a speaker. Of course, that can build things more quickly. But all of that is helpful. And you want to work with somebody that's been kind of in the trenches a while, so they can help you out.
Informed electorates at work. A short sentence, but packed full of reality check. Packed full of power, if you will. Packed full of solutions, I might add, as well. And again, nothing easy is worth working for, ladies and gentlemen. It's got to be tough. It's got to be, anything that's worth your while is going to take a lot of hard work and effort to accomplish. When did this video come out, Eldon?
2011 is when, So it's got a few years on it, but kind of summarizes a program that we've been doing for a number of years, too.
I bring that up, ladies and gentlemen, because, look, the solutions have been on the table for over a decade, even with this video alone. There are solutions. There have been solutions from our founding father era. It's just the JBS and other people are highlighting these realities and bringing them to the forefront for knowledge and for reexamination. We don't need to build a meta mousetrap. We just need to kind of dig around and find the ones that work so well that we've abandoned and return to them is kind of the point the JBS would make, right?
Yeah, it seems like somebody, for all the effort, the time, the money that patriots have put into all these different so-called solutions, we could have beat those that are conspiring to overtake our liberties many times over. It's just been like our founder, the John Birch Society, Robert Welch, pointed out, it's been shunted off into less productive endeavors so that, the effect of the overall effort and time and money spent has been just dissipated so much. So we need to focus on things that are going to be effective rather than just, let's do the sovereign citizen movement and get rid of our birth certificate or something like that, as if that's going to solve these things.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, it's a video. You can just watch it, but watching it's the easy part. Getting to work is the hard part. All right, enough on that, but I really wanted to dig into that, though, because a lot of times when Eldon mentions something, ladies and gentlemen, you can just gloss over it, and then people don't really realize the educational treasure trove that is available just by watching this video. It can unlock an understanding of the solution. It can unlock a reality check on what it's going to take to really move the needle for liberty. Okay, and so I wanted to really dig into that on purpose so people kind of understand what we're talking about. When you just kind of refer to, hey, there's this video of Power of 500, it's really cool. I want people to understand that the gravity and the ramifications and the opportunities that it affords, right?
Oh, yes. Yeah, it's a great opportunity. This is something that everyone that cares about liberty, they should really carefully examine. Is this something that is going to be productive? Is it going to work? Maybe try it out just a little bit and see, not just to say a day, but a little longer than that. Certainly, results.
And they call it a long-standing and successful plan for the long-term solutions here. This isn't a fly-by-the-night answer. You don't wake up tomorrow. It's not like a TV show where you solve the world's problems in 30 minutes, folks. It is I'm going to watch the video, I'm going to get inspired, then I'm going to double down, and I'm going to assemble people. And I believe it is doable, but I don't believe anybody's ever really done it consistently successfully, right? I think we've had flash in the pans. I think it's worked on occasion. They might be getting it done to some degree with school boards and parents. But again, still not enough and not long-term sustained. One of the other keys to this is even if you understand it, even if you know how to work, even if you get your 500 people, you can't have it like be the Tea Party plan where we as a flash in the pan become really, 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 yeah. really, really popular and then poof, yep. where are they right. today? You can't have that kind of approach, folks. It will not work. Why? Because the enemies of liberty are tireless. They're literally 24/7. They never give up. They never run out of money. We need to make sure that we're the same if we expect success, Eldon.
Yeah, and you know, one thing I noticed about the tea parties, at least the ones I visited, is you know, they didn't really have a very well-defined agenda. You had a lot of people that were concerned about this or that and many things, and their efforts often became dissipated because they were involved in just so many different things that it just was not focused. So this is different, certainly. It's people sitting down and saying, well, okay, where can we focus our efforts? And educating the voters is something that, you know, that you do that effectively, you can, you know, I mean, the left does very well, admittedly, at educating the voters. They've got our children, 85% of them going to the government schools, right? I mean, they have the mass media indoctrinating people.
All right, let's take a quick pause, ladies and gentlemen. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Live.
To 6 tons, the average person, 150 pounds. Ever heard of carfentanil? It's a large wild animal tranquilizer. Illegal drug dealers lace heroin with it. It can kill the average human. If you or a loved one is addicted to opiates, even pain pills, don't wait until it's too late. Call the Detox and Treatment Helpline now. We care. Many of us have been where you are. We'll take you or a loved one away from the drug environment to a place you can clean out safely. Plus, we'll work with your insurance company to make sure you get the treatment you need. And with a Family Medical Leave Act, you're allowed by law to get away for help without telling your employer why. Call now to save a life. 800-707-9709. 800-707-9709. That's 800-707-9709.
A military parachute event at Washington Nationals Park Wednesday night inadvertently triggered a probable threat warning at the U.S. Capitol and prompted an evacuation order. U.S. Capitol Police apparently had not been notified of the event. Former New York City Mayor Rudy Giuliani and his gubernatorial candidate son Andrew held a press conference about the issues facing New Yorkers. They say job one is to stop the corrupt Democrats currently running New York.
I believe that most Republicans in this state realize that we have to reform the state. We have to change it. It can't operate the way it's operating now at 2.5 times the budget of Florida with the corruption that we have. We have a governor who's doing a stadium that's going to end us costing us $4 billion because it benefits her husband. I mean, that's essentially what Biden did. Take a look at the family members of these Democrats and how much money they get, and you'll get an idea of the corruption that goes on.
The gubernatorial primary in New York is June 28th. USA Radio News.
All right, Eldon Stahl, Sam Bushman, hard-hitting talk at your fingertips, ladies and gentlemen. Elon Musk in the news, Eldon. Let's talk about this for a minute. So Elon Musk said, hey, man, I'm going to invest in Twitter. He bought 9% of the company. Everybody freaked. It made the news. It was wow. And then they tried to lock him down and say, well, we're going to put you on the board. And Elon's like, sounds good. And then that blew up. And the reason they wanted to put him on the board is because then he couldn't gain more than, say, 15% of the stock. And so they really tried to shackle him by putting him on the board. He eventually said, no, I'm not going on the board. And then they said, whoa, what's happening? And he said, well, hey, I want to buy Twitter, just entirely flat out, buy it out. He offered a significant premium, $43 billion, I think it is. And that's like $7 billion more than the shares are really worth right now. So most of the time, you know, the shareholders would sell and it would be kind of a hostile takeover. What they did is they swallowed a poison pill instead. The poison pill says, look, we're just going to devalue our shares. We're going to make a bunch of shares on the market so that, hey, nobody can gain too much control of the company. The problem is now Eldon, it looks like Elon Musk is saying, hey, I got a plan. Even if you guys try to swallow your poison pill, it won't work. And here's why. Musk reveals plan B for Twitter, which is I'll just buy our shareholders directly. I'll just go to enough shareholders and offer them a deal individually. All you got to do is find out who's got the most shares and go to them and see if you can work a deal and everything else. And, you know, even if he doesn't buy out the company anyway, even if their poison pill half works, because it's not an all or nothing deal in this case, it's not. Okay, so if he gets enough people to where he can buy the shares over time, individually get people to sell out to him, and he gets enough, pretty soon he might own 20, 30, 40, and all it's going to take is, what, 51% of the company? And then who has, quote, controlling interest kind of a thing? And even if he doesn't have 51%, if he has a significant controlling interest, I mean, he has a big voting power if he can get 30, 40 percent of the shares, et cetera. I didn't think the poison pill plan was going to work, but if he can go to people directly, I guess it's the question of who can get to people directly faster and buy the shares and then control it, you know. And if somebody else starts to do what he's doing, then, you know, you might get the SEC and everybody else coming in going, wait a minute, hold on, kind of a thing. I don't know where this is going to go now. I think it's pretty scrappy for Elon. I believe Elon would be better in charge of Twitter than who they've got now. But yet, I don't know that I even trust Elon Musk necessarily either. It seems like the big boys are now kind of saying, if you're somebody in the world today, the way you demonstrate your popularity is you own a big media service. You see Jeff Bezos doing that. You see Bill Gates, who's kind of been involved in that. You see, and now Elon Musk is saying, hey, I want to be a media mogul too, kind of an idea. How genuine he'll be at defending free speech and everything else, time will tell. What do you think of the whole summary of the story, Eldon?
It's always been really interesting to me to watch this and see, you know, I don't know that I've necessarily been this great big Elon Musk fan, but, you know, he is an innovator and all of that. He must, of course, have some sort of meaningful motivation for trying to take over Twitter and to get a controlling interest and all of that. I kind of share your concerns. How much for free speech would he be? I don't know if he did take over Twitter. But the strategy of the Marxists, the left, the progressives, all those, you know, people that kind of get lumped into the basket of the left or the umbrella term, has been to really not to really debate things, but to control the platform upon which the things are debated. And if they can do that, then they really control the debate. If you control the microphone, you control the debate, right? So that's been their strategy, and because it's a position of power. So it seems like the the liberty-minded people have not learned that lesson quite as well. They've been reluctant to strive to gain power, thinking that the only thing that needs to be done is to simply provide good information or to tell the truth, and it will be accepted and recognized as such, rather than to have actual the power to disseminate the truth effectively as well. Uh-oh. Did I lose you?
Sorry, I'm on mute. What do you think is going to happen, Eldon? Do you think we're going to end up having a, I don't know what you say, an Elon takeover of Twitter? Or do you think they're going to, poison pill's going to work? Or what do you think is going to happen? The Securities and Exchange Commission gets involved to try to remedy this? What do you think will be the reality check?
If I knew, I guess I would tell you. I don't know. I'm kind of curious if Elon's going to push this and actually take over Twitter, or if they're just gonna, who knows, they could just, Twitter people could just say, well, okay, we're not gonna have Twitter anymore, we're gonna start a different group, which probably a lot of people would do anyway if he took it over.
Well, and that's kind of the question is, what'll happen? Instead of him just buying up shares directly as well, one of the things that I've thought of that Elon Musk could do is, you know, do you really have to own every share, Elon, or could you get like-minded people? Let's just say that Sam and Eldon and, 5,000 other people were invested in Twitter, but you know what, had kind of a mindset of an Elon Musk, which says, you know what, we believe there should be free speech here, and this lockdown and control and shutting out of everybody is unacceptable. Might he get people, shareholders, to align with him and agree with him? giving him decision-making authority beyond his investment, if you will? And might that be even a more appropriate way to go about the solution than, say, directly buying every share from everybody over time? What I mean is there's nothing wrong with an appropriate think tank of like-minded Americans that say, hey, you know what, Elon's the big man on the block, but yet, you know what, we can go along with most of what he does and says. And might there be, I don't know what the word would be, because it's making up a term here, a new ideology, but might it be a poison pill mitigator? And provide a solution without having to go through the possible Securities and Exchange Commission meltdown, the et cetera, et cetera. Might it just be done by leadership and by the court of public opinion and by saying, look, how many people really who are invested in Twitter agree with me, not with the current status quo kind of a thing? And I don't know if that's a way, but I kind of believe that a lot more people might believe in liberty and believe in free speech more than we think. There just might be a few thugs at the top that are stopping a lot of this, have too much control. But yet, you know what? If Elon and his band might have more power that way and might have less regulatory, I don't know what you want to say, scrutiny and might. Anyway, it just seems like there might be a great opportunity. And then if you did that, then you could have Elon Musk start another competing company. And that way, if Twitter still goes off the rails, you've got a plan. To me, Eldon, I think that Elon needs to have a A, B, C, D, E, F, G plan in place, fund current media folks out there already doing a good job so that they can stay alive against the hostilities of the government and of big tech, a.k.a. WND.com, us, there's many others. Support them. That's part of plan, whatever. Go ahead and get shareholders to agree with you and, you know, use your greater voting block. Vote as a team, if you will. And then start your own media company. Do all the above. What do you think, Eldon?
Yeah, well, it's kind of the similar principle to this power of 500. You know, you control or you influence the people that are the decision makers, the people that cast the votes, whether it's shareholders or voters, whatever. If you do that, then you basically control the outcome. So regardless of maybe the route to that, whether it's you're just outright buying out the shares or getting like-minded people to hold shares, either way, you control the outcome and you control the direction of the company.
All right, next headline is, you know, Joe Biden has mocked Donald Trump, and the Democrats mocked Donald Trump for his hardcore stance on the border for a long time, saying he was just saying all the Mexicans were rapists and ne'er-do-wells, and they mocked Donald and called him a racist, and they pulled out every trick in the book. It didn't work. Donald did a pretty good job locking down the border. He didn't do near what he promised, but he really made significant strides and efforts towards that reality. Then Joe took over, and it went off the rails. And now we've got well over double the amount of illegal aliens crossing the border. Many of them are criminals. Many of them are rapists and murderers and fleeing other countries for political reasons and for to avoid criminal prosecution in their own countries, etc. I can go on, but now the headline from WorldNet Daily, WND.com. It's a great article written by Art Moore at WND.com, and it says this, Eldon. Move aside, Joe. 26 states form Border Security Strike Force. GOP are reacting now to crisis. They blame on Joe. 26 states teaming up on this. I've got a couple of more details, and then Eldon will respond to this one. Wow, all the GOP that didn't seem to want to back Donald back in the day now are maybe coming around? We can only pray, huh? Hang tight, Liberty Roundtable Live.
Why does the left lie constantly? Because they get spiritual power from lying. The lies come from Satan, the father of lies. John 8:44. Here's how the political lying process works. Satan provides the beast with a lie. Then the more they use the lie, the more spiritual power they get. Look, the media is a lie multiplier, and this multiplication gives more evil, spiritual power to the beast. And that can overwhelm and even deceive the body of Christ, especially when the body is being disobedient to the head. The churches today are incorporated, so they're subordinate to human government. They obey the beast and do nothing to restore our national relationship with God. And the government shall be on his shoulders, Isaiah 9:6. That verse is not for the present-day church. Rather, it is for the end-time church, the body of the line of Judah. A message from Christ Kingdom Ministries.
Can a nation conceived in liberty carry its head high if it denies protection to the youngest and most vulnerable of its citizens? Can a country founded on God-given rights continue to thrive without understanding that life is a precious gift from our Creator? As a physician, I have looked into the eyes of one-pound babies. I have cradled their small bodies in the palm of one hand. I defy those who are careless, who would disregard life and look at these tiny little miracles and say, we're not going to protect that.
But I believe there will come a time when we are all judged on whether or not we took a stand in defense of all life from the moment of conception until our last natural breath. One thing I promise you, I will always take a stand for life.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
All right, move aside, Joe. That's what they're saying, move aside, Joe. Literally 26 states are saying they've had it. Enough when Joe Biden, September 24, 2021, doubled down and said, hey, you know, the Border Patrol agents are, on horseback and they're beating up illegal immigrants and stuff, and that turned out to be all false and everything else. Now reacting to the border chaos, they're blaming on Biden's policies. 26 Republican governors are really addressing the threats to their communities now through the, quote, newly formed American Governors Border Strike Force. The governors will share intelligence and analysis of state-level crimes connected to, quote, border security issues, the Washington Times reported. You want to respond to this, Ellen?
Potentially could be beneficial here. It's just wondering how much they'll actually do. It looks like they're looking into at least crimes or threats of increased crime from border insecurity. So that's a positive thing. Sharing intelligence about all those things among the different states. So that's a step in the right direction. Certainly there needs to be at least some resistance from states on this, states don't have necessarily an international border, but they have state borders, and they can at least try to protect their state borders. That's very much within the ability of states. And some states, of course, their state border, parts of it are international borders, aren't they?
All right, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. I find that interesting. I don't know that the governors are any better, but at least they're doing something, and you got to... We'll see how successful they are. But I personally think when Donald Trump was the president of the United States and he was taking the border seriously, that's when 26 Republican governors should have doubled down and backed the president of the United States. You know, I appreciate that now they're not in power and now an election's coming up, so they want to double down and get serious. I appreciate that. Move aside, Joe. It sounds awesome, but I think it's an election ploy more than a reality check. That's just my take, Eldon. I don't mean to be critical. I don't mean to be negative. I want to give credit where credit's due, but I'm jaded, sir. I've just seen them. Every time an election comes up, they do a lot of things that you just go, yeah, they get it this time. It's going to be incredible. How good. And then you just go, oh.
I think that's an observation I've noticed, too, is so many times the Republicans, they make a big stink about things when they're not in power. But when they really have the power, One person that comes to mind that would illustrate this would be somebody like John Thune. You know, when it came to the possibility in the U.S. Senate of stopping Obamacare, you know, John Thune, I think, had voted on these bills, you know, when the Democrats were in power to repeal Obamacare. How many times were we going to vote to repeal? But when it came to defunding Obamacare and actually stopping it, somebody like John Thune would just be like, oh, no, we can't do that. You know, so I remember, and there's so many examples a person could get.
Yeah, it's kind of like how Donald said, lock her up on the campaign trail. Then when he became president, he's like, why would I want to lock up my friend Hillary? I mean, come on now.
Yeah, yeah, right. There's another example. It's it seems like sometimes these efforts are more theater than actual seriousness. I was glad he was serious about securing the border when he was president. He didn't. That wasn't. You know, so many Republicans have run on that and not done anything, right? Yeah, it seems like historically the Republicans have been, all agitating for. They would say, well, if you put us back in power with the majority, we will fix this problem. And then once they get in the majority, they happen to say, you know, I guess it's a little more difficult than we thought, or, some sort of excuse. I don't know.
I'm going to take a little phrase from an old country song. How about a little less talk and a lot more action, ladies and gentlemen, from the Republicans? I wish they were serious. I'll give you an example to make the point about being serious. There's a governor in Idaho that's supposedly pretty conservative. He passed a pro-life bill and everything else. And, you know, hey. But now there's a headline written in The New American by our dear friend Alex Newman, incredible writer, just a wonderful gentleman. But the headline says this: courts meddling in family sparks growing in alarm. So you got basically, hey, the government's literally meddling with a family, and it's a big concern. Where you kind of say, wait a minute, why is the government meddling in the affairs of the family? You go read that article from Alex Newman and you kind of get this new respect to say, you know, I appreciate there's a Republican governor there. But you know what? Why is this happening on his watch? And this is kind of what I mean, is that when they're in place, the things that matter most don't matter. Now, if you put an Ammon Bundy, who I actually endorsed for governor for the state of Idaho, in place, this would not be going on. That's the difference that I'm trying to point out, Eldon.
Yeah, it's often difficult for the average person, unless they have a well-orchestrated education of the voters, to help them discern between those people that are just feeding them good sounding rhetoric versus those that are actually serious about fixing the problem and restoring liberty.
All right, I got two final stories for the hour that are both in the New American magazine, thenewamerican.com. First one says this. It turns out that John Durham says that the CIA knew that the dirt on Donald Trump and that the information they gave to the FBI on Donald Trump was bogus. So, Eldon, if they knew that from the start, why didn't Durham speak up sooner? And why are we allowing the criminals to do this? I don't really understand if we are going to say now, Durham is saying, the CIA knew that the dirt on Trump and the assessment given to the FBI was bogus. If they knew that, why did we allow that to happen for 2 years plus? Where were the Republicans while this was going down? Nobody was talking. It was crickets. What the heck?
Well, wasn't this, Durham, appointed, right, by Trump. Must have been at least the second half of Trump's term, right, to go through the Russian collusion allegations and find out who actually did that when that investigation proved that it was just a bunch of nonsense. So I'm not sure how much opportunity Durham would have had, at least during that time when that was, you know, being promoted by the major media. It's something that at least it's coming out finally that, okay, the media lied, but also the CIA and the FBI, they were in on it too, and they were there's a lot of corruption, a lot of house to clean in those agencies, isn't there? It's not the days of J. Edgar Hoover trying to at least get to the bottom of
things. Well, let's say that I give him a pass and say, okay, John Durham didn't know, the Republicans didn't really realize there was real investigations going on, but then here's the deal. Government officials literally broke laws for 2 years and should be arrested. There's an article written by Ben Armstrong in the New American that highlights this reality. I could not agree with him more. Look, if we're just finding out about this, fine, I get it. I don't understand why they didn't know about it earlier, but fine, I get it. Let's say they really did honestly, genuinely just discover it now. Fine. Where's the prosecutions? Where's the arrests? Where's the we're putting you in jail plan? That's what the Democrats tried to do to Trump and did do to people surrounding Donald Trump. When are we going to take off the gloves now and say, fine, you know what? I'll give you a pass if you didn't know. That's fine. No problem. No harm, no foul. But now you better take action. And if you don't, then I got to blame you too. Hillary's running around and she literally funded this dossier. She literally is running around free and she literally did Operation opposition research on Trump and then helped release and funded the dossier against him that wasn't even true. And then she literally had email on her servers that was, illegally dealt with there. And, you know, we go on and on. Where are the arrests? And if we don't get them, I'm holding the Republicans as responsible to the Democrats. What good is it to release an article saying, oh, yeah, we knew that they were guilty the whole time, or that, you know, the government knew they were guilty? Look, shut down the unconstitutional CIA that's criminal. Shut down Hillary Clinton and all those guys for criminal activity. Let's start arresting people left and right. And you could say, well, Sam, that's sure harsh. No, it's not. We spent literally $30 million attacking Donald on a false premise funded by an opposite campaign. And then they say there's no vote fraud. And I say to you, wait a minute now. The CIA knew? Well, that's one side of the equation. The CIA knew the attacks on Trump were bogus. But what about the opposite's true? They've been covering up the Joe Biden, Hunter Biden scandals as well. And you put those two opposition realities in the mix, and you go, it's vote fraud extraordinaire going on, Eldon.
Yeah, very much so. And it kind of reminds me of, when Bill Clinton was impeached. Of course, so many presidents, people have been pushing for them to be impeached, and there's always, you know, bumper stickers and all that. But it really didn't get off the ground until really the John Birch Society got heavily involved in pushing for him to be impeached for treason, giving all this technology, nuclear technology, to China, which is now pointed at our shores, by the way. But it took people contacting their congressmen, demanding that they actually in the House file impeachment articles and move those forward in the Judiciary Committee, key people on the committee that were lobbied, and it moved it forward. That's what it's going to take. We've got to demand that these people be held accountable and organize and talk with our congressmen and say, you know, this has to be done. The Republicans, from the experience with the Clinton, even the treason stuff with Clinton, they were reluctant to even move forward with impeachment until people said, no, we demand that you do this. Here's the evidence.
But even the Democrats should be incensed of this, though. And I'm not talking about the entrenched deep state Republicans and Democrats. I'm talking about the average Democrat, whether you agree or disagree with Donald, whether you hate Donald or not. Look, if you know that your leaders literally created a opposition research lie that you funded and peddled and promoted, used the media to do your bidding, then the CIA knew in advance and admits that. And okay, now you're nonpartisan, at least you're supposed to be, with the CIA and FBI and Justice Department and everybody and everything else. At some point, you as the Democrats have got to push for accountability too.
Oh, yeah.
It's our country at stake now. We're against the deep state here, ladies and gentlemen. It's not a left-right paradigm discussion at all anymore. It's a criminal versus honor and integrity discussion. Unless we get a handle on it, expect it to get worse. Remember that, and remember who told you. Eldon, we so appreciate all your efforts, sir.
Oh, well, you too, Sam. Gosh, it's I appreciate that. It's just encourage people to get involved. Things change when you get involved. You gotta make things happen, not wait for them to happen.
Just imagine if we had 500 that even weren't trained, but they were serious about accountability on this singular issue, what we could get done with 500 people in every single district across the greatest country on the face of the earth. Thanks, Eldon. Thanks to everyone. LovingLiberty.net. God save the Republic of the United States of America.